I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The National Obsession with John Cadogan and Charlie Baker.
You are listening to the National Obsession, a National League football podcast with Charlie Baker. That's me, and John Cadogan, that's him. Here he is, speaking now.
Hello.
There he is, John.
I'm on my fourth bottle of water today.
You are drinking a lot of water,
drinking
John.
A lot of water.
For what reason? Just enjoy. It's like a big announcement. For why, John?
I certainly left that playing.
Do you just like weeing, John? Is that it?
It has been a side effect, unfortunately. Well, drinking the water.
That's part of it.
Excessive trips to the loo.
Yeah.
It's just good for you, isn't it?
And you've read this somewhere?
I've got.
Staying hydrated. Your skin looks excellent, John.
Does it really?
Really clear skin.
Does it?
Yes, very clear skin.
I got given a bottle where you click them off. You click off your bottles of water. So I've had three on my fourth.
Someone's thought of that, haven't they?
Yeah.
They've gone, hey. What if we get people can't remember anything? So what if we give them a little button on the bottle?
It's good for you, though,
John.
Very good for you.
No one is underestimating how good it is drinking water. As my granny used to say, Doris Baker used to say, "It's good enough for lions." Which is true, John, isn't it?
I'm Joris.
Thank you, John. And I have become addicted to a clip on the internet of, I think it must be post Brexit. In Stoke-on-Trent, and this young man gets interviewed. He's slightly nervous, and he calls Boris Johnson Joris Bonson. And it doesn't sound the most hilarious thing you've ever heard, but just the way he says it is very funny.
Yeah, and his comedy moustache.
He has a moustache. He's an interesting character. You can't age him. Is he 55? Is he 22? You don't know how old he is. He's in Stoke-on-Trent.
That's Stoke-on-Trent for you, isn't it?
Who knows, John?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Joris Bonson. Look it up.
Joris Bonson. So just drinking water for your own self, John. Would you recommend it?
I would. I mean, you will be in and out of the loo a lot. Mm. And my recommendation is to be finished with the water drinking by about 7 o'clock.
Not the loo.
If you want to get up in the night and go to the loo, then keep going past 7 o'clock. But I recommend finish your fourth bottle by about 7 o'clock.
Some people are really into that, John. Aren't they? Getting up in the night. Really into it.
Who are these people?
It's very rare I have to do it. I'm very lucky at the moment. But, you know, getting older, John, so I'm sure it will come to us all.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do, you really have to try and stay asleep, don't you? Really have to try.
You have to sort of almost sleepwalk, don't you? Just
to keep your eyes shut.
I'm not turning any lights on.
I am not awake. I'm not awake. I have a sit down these days, John, if I don't do it from stood up. I sit down if it's the night time.
Because that will take longer, though.
I know, but it keeps you nice and relaxed. You're not having to worry about anything. And then you have to creep back to bed, don't you? And then hopefully your body won't think it was ever asleep.
But yeah, I think I've honed it.
Have you, John? Yeah. Pretty good at it.
I'm just off. I'm back out. Yeah. Like a light.
Hey, before we get into what's in the podcast, John, got a bit of Talk United news, haven't you? Because you went on a recce this weekend. You went to a match this weekend, John?
I did, yes. Yeah, you're right.
Who was playing?
I went to my local team because obviously Talk United weren't playing.
Yeah.
So you've got to go and support your local team, haven't you?
You've got to support your local team, John.
AFC Wimbledon versus down at Plough Lane. Shrewsbury Town, down at Plough Lane, the
I
new
used to
ground.
Go watch Stock Car there, John, when I was a student.
Very nice.
On a Sunday night, they used to do Stock Car. Not as good as Newton Stock Car on a Wednesday night, because Newton Stock Car on a Wednesday night was the greatest night out of all time.
With a bonfire in the middle of it.
R.I.P. The Newton Stock Car racing Bill Batten Gold Top.
These are just words.
No, Bill Batten used to live in my village.
Who is Bill Batten?
World champion.
Oh.
Multi-world champion stock car
racer.
What's
a gold top?
You had a gold top if you were the world champion. Top of your car. Painted gold.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think the
less experienced you were, I think it went white, red. I can't remember the colours, but like if you were new to the game, you'd have a white top.
Right.
And it went on and on and on. If you were world champion, you had a gold top.
Where is Bill these days?
Bill, I don't know where. I don't know. John?
Look him up.
I don't know.
Be prepared.
I am talking like mid to late 80s, early 90s.
Bill Batten.
I don't think Newton Abbott's had a
stock car.
Was it the race course, John? Was it the race course?
Bill Batten, the end of an era.
There we are.
Autospeed.co.uk. What's
there
this?
He is, you see.
There he is.
Are. Bill Batten, gold
There's
top.
There's Bill.
Does he look the most Devonshire man you've ever seen in your life, John?
Click the screen, man, so you can see him.
Yeah, I'd love to see him.
There you go.
I know what he looks like. He used to live in my village, John.
Have a look at Bill Batten.
Bill Batten.
Oh!
There he is. Lovely stuff. So you'd go to the stock car and you'd have like four stock car races throughout the night, but you'd also have a hot rods. Oh, John. That's literally just broken. John Pienaar's coming in.
And now my water's spilt everywhere.
This is Bill Batten. Furious.
Oh, no. I have actually just thrown water all over the desk.
Oh, well. Just walk away. John Pienaar is coming in.
Something to
utterly
blot it
furious.
I think these antibacterial wipes to blot the water.
At least it'll be clean.
Carry on.
So your average stock car evening, John, it'd be brilliant. It was in the days when you'd book kids in the footwell. So my dad, you pay by the car, you see,
right,
rather than by the person. Well, no, was it the way round? Can't remember. Anyway, so we'd take about six people and four of them would be in the footwells, John.
Right. I am listening.
I know you're listening. And then we'd get in. And then loads of people there on a Wednesday night in Newton Abbott. And then you'd have to walk through the cars.
Right.
Which were basically a mixture of smashed up old Ford Cortinas and Granadas.
Yeah.
And like Austin Maxis. And
sorry.
I don't feel like my nostalgic discussion about Newton Abbott stock car.
I'm also trying to salvage some very expensive equipment with some A4 paper.
It's a disaster. Have you fixed it, John?
Not really, no. But I am listening. Sorry, Ford Cortinas.
That's basically what it was. And they were the hot rods, the saloons.
Right.
So you'd have stock car, which were like purpose-built cars. Formula One stock cars.
Yeah.
And then hot rods. And you'd have bangers as well.
I was going to say, I've been to bangers.
Bangers was brilliant.
Yeah.
Bangers was brilliant.
They just smash each other round the oval. Smithereens.
Round the oval. My dad used to do it as a 20-year-old. But it was a brilliant night, John. You'd walk through all the cars and it would smell of like...
Rubber.
Fuel and rubber and chips and burgers. And it was really exciting. They play You Win Again every time someone won. They play the Bee Gees, You Win Again.
You win again.
They'd play that. And they'd sit on the roof of the car being driven round with a trophy. Oh, just brilliant. Not a stock car.
No, but the point of the story was...
You went to Wimbledon,
I went to AFC Wimbledon. Yes, with my local team. They were playing Shrewsbury Town.
Yep.
Up front for Shrewsbury Town, Ryan Bowman.
Bowman and?
Ex of Talk United.
And who came on?
75th minute. On came Seiku Jana. Jane.
And what did he do, John?
Nothing.
A lot?
Jane did nothing.
Nothing at all.
Bugger all. Ryan Bowman did bugger all as well. Oh. Very disappointing.
Didn't even get sent off.
No.
And who was the other Talk United link there, John?
Goalkeeping coach Ashley Bayes.
B-A-Y-Z.
Yeah.
He used to have Bayes on the back of his top and he used to spell it.
Did it say B-A-Y-Z?
Ashley Bayes. Goalkeeping coach at Wimbledon.
Wimbledon, yeah.
Good. John, what's coming up in the podcast? Let's find out.
A lot's happened already.
Quite a lot's happened already, but you know.
So on the way in this episode 168 of the National Obsession.
Who knew? When will we get to 200, John? By the end of the season?
Not this season.
No,
I would
next
have thought
season.
It'd be next season. Better stop planning that now. 200.
Yeah.
We're going to have lots of National League news. Transfers.
Yeah.
Update after National League Outsider.
Full transfer roundup.
Tipped us off on
we were tipped off last week, weren't we, by the National League Outsider. Really?
All sorts. Quigley. House. What else did he say?
All sorts of that. Yeah.
Wrexham weren't signing anyone.
Yeah.
That didn't come to pass.
Nothing at all. Haven't done anything. We're going to speak to some Wrexham, a Wrexham fan from the Rob Ryan Red, Wob Ryan Wed, of course, Wexham podcast, and some letters, John, I'm assuming.
Some letters, and I think, you know, obviously everyone's been on tenterhooks this week for the Sue Gray report.
Yes.
But on the National Obsession this week, we've been on tenterhooks because of the non-league grey reports.
The non-league grey.
Non-league grey.
She's been looking into all sorts, haven't they, John?
Yeah, it's non-league Ray's cousin, and she's got the magnifying glass out.
She's forensic.
Forensic.
She's forensic on when she goes into Ray's room at the travel log.
She's been looking at some illicit behaviour going on. Yeah, so she's
lovely.
She'll be on later on.
Let's have some news then, John.
We may never ever hear from her ever again.
That might be it. Might be a one-off. Like Lynn King.
Lynn King.
Come on, you Linux! That's all we had for Lynn King, John.
Let's get back to Saturday and begin with Barnet nil, Stockport 5.
Why not?
An absolute hammering.
Are they going to win the league, John? It looks like it, doesn't it?
They're top, aren't they? Seven straight wins and like a house on fire.
But at the same time, they cannot pull away.
No, I mean, others have got, Chesterfield have got a game in hand on them, haven't they?
And they are a couple of games ahead of a few people, like Boreham Wood. Got two games in hand on them. They're on 49 points. Boreham Wood might... People are tipping Bromley and Boreham Wood, John.
It would be very... They are convinced. I saw our good mates at Gandemonium saying it would be very National League.
Well, bastard,
we all know
yes.
that Bromley and Boreham Wood are the ones to go up.
Well, got the old plastic pitch, of course, at Bromley, which didn't hurt Sutton, did it, John?
No.
But Stockport are on 51 points. Got a goal difference of 28. That's pretty good. And they do look pretty... unstoppable at the moment.
No, they do. Absolutely. They're looking sitting very pretty at the top of the table. We mentioned Boreham Wood. They beat Kings Lynn 3-1.
Easy peasy.
All the goals on the score sheet. A couple from Josh Rees, Tyrone Marsh.
Ugh.
They all scored.
All ex-Torquay players, yes.
Big win for Boreham Wood. Bromley got it done as well.
Yeah.
Beat Notts County.
Notts County. I was so
Real
sad.
Shame.
I was so sad for Notts County. Aren't you, John? So
Real
sad.
Shame that Notts County are outside the playoffs.
Big club like them, John. Nottingham County. Not being up there. I mean, I feel so sorry for them as well, leaving the main on the bench all the time.
It's such a Bromley result, that, isn't it?
Oh, bro, this is the 1-0. Thing. Bromley are S-housing their way to it. Kept hold of Andy Woodman. He's not going to Gillingham. They've announced Neil Harris.
Neil Patrick
took
Harris.
Too long.
Yeah.
I love that.
Just took too long.
What do you mean it's taking too long? They obviously don't want you.
Nothing says I really, really love being here more than...
taking ages. Yes.
But yeah, they got it done against Notts County. Yeah. Ian, I'm sure, absolutely furious.
Well, he said, you know, I thought we had the most of the play.
Of course he did.
They came and they played their game.
Did he actually say that?
They played their game, you know, which is good. You know, it's what if they want to play like that, it was like that. And it's like, Ian,
yeah, but they
man,
won, Ian.
How long are you giving Ian? If Ian
If
Ian loses a couple now.
They won't change it now.
Becomes 10th, 11th. Start slipping down, John.
Maybe. It would be good, wouldn't it?
Well,
they played their game. It's such a disingenuous thing to say, isn't it? They played their game. Yeah, they did.
I think I've warmed to him. I will say that. I have warmed to him.
But then when you've got James Rowe, he makes Ian look like
a
saint.
Yeah, exactly. Bite your nose off, you
You dweeb.
You dweeb.
Dagenham 1, Halifax 3. And all the goals. A couple from Billy Waters. Which is very disappointing, really.
I'm surprised no one's come in for their manager. I think if anyone's going to come in for any manager in the Football League, I think Pete Wilde would be the one that people come in for.
Born to be wild.
Yes.
Dover 0, Southend 1.
Ooh, climbing up. They've climbed up. They've got themselves safe. Southend. They're on 29
points. I think
points.
They are. They always look like they were going to have enough, didn't they, to keep themselves up. So, yes, they managed to get there. Don't you see Dover's captain has left as well?
Has he?
He's gone.
Don't blame him.
Sam Wood? Sam
Why
Wood.
Wouldn't you?
Gone.
Where's he gone?
Just left. Left by mutual consent.
Just left?
Just gone.
That's it. Thanks a lot. Where are you going? Not going to say.
Nowhere.
Nowhere. Calais.
I mean, I did see all the trucks are parked up on the old, is it the M20?
M20, I think.
At the moment, obviously, because they're all, after Dover won a game.
Yeah.
They all wanted to, everybody getting down there.
5 miles
quick,
of queues.
To the Crabble. Yeah.
Everybody to the Crabble. The plan is still to go to the Crabble, John, in a few weeks' time.
I'll be at the Crabble.
I know you'll be there for the BBC.
I'm on BBC Devon.
Earning the big bucks.
The Crabble. Grimsby 2, Wealdstone 1. Ooh. So Grimsby, finally getting it done. I think they had a bit of a nervy finish there with Wealdstone pulling it back in the second half.
Bloody hell, Umerah!
He didn't score, Umerah.
Bloody hell!
No.
Has Booze been playing
bench.
At all?
Booze started the game.
Oh,
yeah,
good. It's a long way Booze. From home for him, isn't it?
Ty Almore's 5, Altrincham 0. Jean, what's
Jean.
Going on?
Since she's won that trophy, John, they have hardly had a kick. I don't think, you know, careful what you wish for. It proves you can't have everything in life.
They are on a shocking run and they are sort of hurtling towards the bottom of the table. It's not looking good for them.
They won't go down. The bottom three.
Do you reckon?
We've said this for ages.
They're on a terrible
Absolutely
run.
Ages.
They've got, I mean,
they're on 26 points though. Weymouth are on 16 points. But they have two games in hand on them. Okay, maybe. Don't think so though.
They have got a lot of catching up to do, Weymouth, if they are going to do it.
Yes.
But they could do.
Bob Lucas.
Never know. Still,
miracles can happen at the Bob
still
Lucas.
A long way to go. But yeah, Solihull, a couple more from Andrew Dallas.
I know. Game. Can't stop scoring.
I know.
He's on 11 now, isn't
Set
it?
Set him on his
11,
way.
12.
Weymouth nil, Aldershot 1. It's an own goal, Brandon Goodship. The Goodship Brandon.
There he is.
92nd minute own goal.
He's a good player though, isn't he?
Might be. I don't know. Is he?
I think he's pretty
no
good.
Idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, put it through his own net. So pretty disastrous there for Weymouth. Woking nil, Yeovil 1. So I saw, did he see? I mean, I don't know whether it's a sign because I think old Dowse is under a bit of pressure at Woking at the moment. The fans aren't particularly happy.
No.
Martin Tyler came out and did the post-match.
Did he?
It's just weird.
It's odd having Martin
really
Tyler
really weird. And he's there going, well, I just, you know, we didn't quite get on the end of it. And, you know, we should have.
It's odd having sort of an assistant manager is John Motson.
I know.
It's the equivalent of that.
Barry Davis. It's ridiculous. It's really odd.
That is an odd thing. Nigel Adley.
73-year-old, commentating legend.
I don't think Dowse should be under pressure, though. What did Woking want?
They're 13th, but I think because they've gone full-time and they've got this American bloke with a bit of money behind him, they sort of feel like they should be doing better.
How much money has he got?
Not
exactly. Not Wrexham or
money.
Chesterfield or Stockport levels, is it? Doesn't make any difference.
Wrexham 1, Maidenhead 1.
Ooh,
Agent Allen.
Agent Allen is smashing it.
He's on fire.
The 94th minute equaliser.
He's got us on strings, as they say, Agent Allen.
It must be exciting supporting Maidenhead. Because they were getting absolutely hammered. What are they changed their goalkeeper, didn't they? I think that was one of the things they did. So, yeah. Well, you know. Thank you, Agent Allen.
So, yeah, it was obviously Paul Mullen got sent off after 4 minutes.
Yes.
But Wrexham still went ahead.
Yes.
And then, yeah.
I've seen the decision and it looks right. Paul Mullen said he slipped.
Yeah.
But it looks like he does just kick him straight in the chest with his studs.
They sent the assistant out. And after the game, Wrexham to do the old post-match. He said, the late goal just takes away that little bit of gloss. Went, yeah, it does.
Quite a lot of gloss.
Won. And they haven't. So it's taken all the gloss off, I would say. And life after James Rowe for Chesterfield. They won 1-0.
Well, he's not gone yet, John.
89th minute.
Still open, isn't it?
Still open.
It was a good, very good goal, their goal. I will say that. So there we are. So what's the league table, John? Let's have a look at that.
Stockport on top. Chesterfield second, Halifax third, fourth Bromley, Borehamwood, Wrexham, Solihull, Moors. That's the playoffs. Notts County, Dagenham just outside, Grimsby just outside. And then the bottom three, Weymouth, Kingsland and Dover, as ever.
As ever, and it will be till the end of the season. And that top eight, John, is the top nine. It's unreal.
You'd probably say anyone down to Grimsby.
Unbelievable.
And
if we'd had a better keeper for the first 10 games of the season, then we'd have been up there as well. But look, you never know. We might suddenly find something in the tank.
Maybe.
John, this is the National Obsession.
The National Obsession.
You're listening to the National Obsession. There's obviously been a big report done, and we've got the person who's done the report here, and it is Non-League Grey. Hello, Non-League Grey.
Hello, yes. Yeah, Non-League Grey here. Non-league, cousin of non-league.
Yeah, we know your cousin. Yes. Yeah, we know your cousin.
Yes.
What are your findings from the Travel Services Travelodge?
Well, this is only an update into the report. Okay. It's sort of an interim report into the big report, which I have been carrying out into a culture of illicit behaviour at Travel Services.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is it surrounding Travel Lodge itself or the BGC Cafe or...
Well, I'm looking at several different gatherings at Travel Services during lockdown.
Oh, right.
When there shouldn't have been. It would appear to be a serious failure of leadership at Travel that allowed these gatherings in the cafe to take place.
And are any of them surrounding Non-League Ray at all, your cousin? Can you not say that?
That would be wrong of me to preempt the full report and is it Nottinghamshire? Nottinghamshire Police are looking into it as well, so I won't I won't preempt their report. But needless to say, individuals will be spoken to.
Your report sounds utterly pointless.
I wouldn't say that. I'd say my report shows that there's been a serious failure of leadership and things have been allowed to take place. And there's a culture of excessive consumption of pasties and lots of pasties and quite expensive bottles of mineral water.
Many photos being handed in to the Trowel Police at
Lots
all?
Of photos, yeah, have all gone to... Gone to Nottinghamshire Police.
Travel Police.
Travel Police. And I've interviewed over 70 individuals.
Wow.
And I will be providing a full briefing.
Is that the complete Solihull Moors fan base?
I can't confirm or deny, but yes, but people who've used the cafe, people who've stayed at the Travel Lodge. Mm. And I will provide a full update.
Well, thank you very much for being so comprehensive in your... in your report, and shame that most of it's redacted, but do give our love to Non-League Grey.
I will do. I'm Non-League Grey. Grey. Non-League Grey.
Grey.
Non-League Grey.
There we are. Thank you. This is the National Obsession.
The National Obsession.
You're listening to the National Obsession. Now, this Saturday, John is Talk United v Wrexham. It's not a Talk United podcast, John. We could have talked about any team.
Could have picked any game.
Wrexham are playing this weekend. Wrexham have spent nearly £1 million in this transfer window.
They've outspent Arsenal, which is a fun fact, isn't it?
Outspent Arsenal. And like a Mickey, I wish I knew the name of the player, Mickey Thomas.
Mickey Thomas.
Put that one into the top corner.
Why don't we ask our next
Wrexham to ask. I'm trying to show my football credentials. We've got Rich now from the Rob Ryan Red Wrexham AFC podcast, who we spoke to earlier in the season. And here he is back. Probably hear him... pockets jangling from all the money. Here he is. Hi, Rich.
How you doing? I mean, like you said, we're National League at the weekend. It's been a bit of a come down, but thankfully the best cure was a shopping spree for us on deadline day. So I think the fan anger has been appeased for now. But yeah, it's I mean, what's changed since we last played you, really? I mean, that was the game where we had our owners over. You support the party again for that. So maybe an element of revenge for us this weekend. I don't know. But yeah, it should be... another interesting one. I think from a Wrexham point of view, it's another sort of gauge of just how ready we really are for promotion this season, because there's been many, many times where, you know, we've just not been quite up to it. And I think this is a tricky away day, but, you know, if you want to be going up, no offence, I do think it's one our fans are doing. We have to be getting 3 points from.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What are your thoughts on the season so far? Do you feel like... you've underperformed a bit, or are you still... is this just Wrexham being Wrexham and keeping you all on tenterhooks?
Oh, this is very much Wrexham being Wrexham, and, you know, no one's surprised, really. I mean, there is sort of the old adage that money can buy some things, but other things it can't really change, and we've sort of seen that this season. I mean, from the season so far, it's been a little disappointing in terms of the performances and what we've seen. I mean, we've scored 10 goals at home this season. I think we've scored 32 away. Oof. That's mainly because we played Kingsley and Aldershot away quite quickly. We're always playing well. We scored more goals in those two games than we scored at home all season. So from a certain section of fans, I mean, if you think about who goes to away games, who goes to home games, there is probably about 80, 90% of the fan base who haven't seen us sort of play particularly well or exciting football this season because they don't go to the away matches.
Yeah.
And you know, every home game has felt pretty much the same in terms of the style of play and the end result. But in terms of the way the season has gone, you just need to maybe take a step back, really, and think the view from inside the club is very much that we've had our bad patch. That was the start of the season. Basically, an entirely new squad, new manager, sort of a new feel around the place, just getting used to things. And we've slow and steady sort of clawed our way up the table. We're still in the reckoning. And I know that we've spent lots of money and everyone from the outside is saying Wrexham have to get up this season, otherwise it's a massive failure. I do feel that it is almost a two-year project of getting out of the National League from the investment, just because so much has changed.
Yeah.
So we're not too pessimistic.
I agree with you. I think it's very much a two-year project. I think because of being in the Welsh FA and you can't sign players outside the window, it actually hasn't this year been massively beneficial for you. My view is you've got the wrong manager. I've always said that. Mm-hmm. My view is you've got the wrong manager. I also want to ask you, why is Paul Mullin so scared of Torquay United?
Who knows? There must be something. I mean, they say players see red. Maybe he sees yellow and fears it. I'm not quite sure what the issue is. But yeah, I mean, without him, it's going to be a worry. He's looked quite off it in recent weeks, really. I mean, Paul Mullin, of course, he's maybe the bridge for many sort of neutral fans into Wrexham, because, you know, you don't really know who you support. You do know Paul Mullin, really, especially in the lower leagues. But he's been a bit off it, really, I'd say, for the last month or so. Like you said, from a headline, Paul Mullin missing that and the next four matches is bad news. But, you know, replacing him is going to be tough. But I think that it isn't as disastrous as maybe it looks on paper in regards to that. But, yeah, in terms of the manager and Parky himself, I mean, people do call it sort of Jurassic Parkinson football. I mean, I'm not sure what football the dinosaurs played, but it probably was 3-5-2. It's been pretty ugly.
Not many handballs in the T-Rex match.
it's been pretty prehistoric, really, I guess, in terms of our approach. And it's not been too fanciful. I mean, like you said, you've got Hollywood owners, but you've not really got the champagne football on the pitch to match it. But this season and next season particularly, it's all sort of consequentialism. It's all about that end result. And if we go up, every Wrexham fan will be delighted. We still don't really think Parkinson's name. I think it's been sung about two or three matches this season. So it has taken a while for him to sort of get it, really, and to be approved by the fans. I think he is slowly getting there. But for us, the stars are those players on the pitch and our owners, which I think at other clubs, you idolise the manager because you know they've maybe got tough circumstances or whatever.
Yeah.
We've got so many other positive sort of role models to laud and to worship that I think Phil Parkinson's quite far down the list.
Do we need to worry about Ollie Palmer or Tom O'Connor?
I mean, Ollie Palmer has surprised me a lot, because we would sort of sold this vision of we're just buying a big lump up front who's going to hold the ball up, which he can do. He's got a really good little 5-10 yard sprint on him, a little burst of pace I didn't know he had. His just link-up play has been really, really promising. At the weekend, he ran out wide, put in a brilliant cross for Jordan Davis, who should have scored the header, and that would have sealed the game. But Ollie Palmer, I would say, obviously now about Mullin as well, is the danger man. I think, probably following on from our previous point as well, the issue with players at Palmer is they're just not streetwise enough for the National League. We had this, I mean, Ben Tozer, our captain, did an interview earlier in the season in which he said, you know, the National League referees are, as you know, not even worth discussing. He can't believe how bad they are. Ollie Palmer's been the same, been a bit of a culture shock for him. Tom O'Connor, like I said, he's that player who, on paper, he ticks all the boxes. He's apparently a sort of a versatile defensive midfielder, which is what we've been crying out for all season. But, you know, he's coming in as a young man to the National League. It might be a bit of an ill fit because, like we've just said, you need players who know about this level. And again, that could be a bit of a culture shock. He won't get much protection from referees. Ollie Palmer, I would say, is the one to watch out for. And for me, the last couple of games, it's centre-back Aaron Hayden who's really caught the eye. I think I've been very impressed with him in both boxes. And, yeah, set pieces we're starting to look a bit better from, but we're still very vulnerable from crosses into the box. I think it is a high proportion of goals this season we've conceded from crosses into the box, and we did against Maidenhead at the weekend.
We haven't played the same 11 players in two games running. I could not tell you what the squad will be or what the team will be on Saturday. Have not a clue. We never know if anyone's injured or ill or anything. So I've no idea who will be playing on Saturday. So I think it's going to be a really good game, though. I think it's going to be a really good game.
I think it might be the opposite. I think it might be highly unwatchable.
There is also that chance.
Who knows? I guess that is what's so fun about the Vanarama National League, isn't it?
I mean,
you just never know what's going to happen, do you? And yeah, I mean, like I said at the start of this, if we want to be getting a promotion, a sort of promotion place, and one of the higher ones as well, you've got to be getting points.
You will. You absolutely definitely will. I guarantee you're still my tip to win. I know Stockport, but they're not running away with it, and they've had their streaky run. They can't win all season. You never know, but I can't see it happening. Brilliant. Thanks so much for joining us, Rich. The Red Ryan podcast. I'm reading it. I can't even read it properly. Is available on all platforms, I'm assuming.
Yes, it should be. And if it's not, that's Nave's problem. He deals with the administrative side of things. So, any issues, just complain to him.
It was Rich there from the... I couldn't say it, could I? The
Rob Ryan Red
Wrexham podcast. Swing the ball into the box, Gary. He's just told us what to do.
Yeah, stick it in the mixer.
This is the National Obsession.
The National Obsession.
John Pienaar is knocking on the door, so this is the National Obsession, and it's time for Letters from a Listener.
When you go, will you send back a letter from a listener?
Any letters, Johnny?
Blimey, yes, we have some letters. We better crack on with it. Clive Haywood, Sir Clive. He knows what he's doing, doesn't he? He's getting in there, making sure
Someone
we don't
say
forget
it's
about
too
him.
Needy, John.
He says, what was that you said about me practicing already for the FOF Games 2022. Come in here and say it again. Come on, please. Or bite your f***ing nose off, you dweebs.
Wow.
Anyway, I'd like to suggest some more Ali Omar songs. Obviously, we've got the one
that...
He would like to suggest, based on Lady Gaga's Alejandro, Don't Call My Name, Don't Call My Name, Ali Omar.
I don't know the song.
Ali Omar, Ali Omar, Ali Omar.
Can't help you.
Yeah, you do. You know the one.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Good idea if you knew the
song.
Sir
Clive, you know the song.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Sir Clive.
Is that it? On the ice, Clive, a lovely letter.
OTI to you.
Very, very,
a new contributor gets in touch. Steve Cullen.
Steve?
Cullen.
On the ice.
Steve, on the ice. I'm just queuing up a piece of music for Steve. Hold on.
Cullen Steve. In the name of... Have you got that right?
No. No, but I should have done. That's a very good idea.
Cullen in the name of...
Steve says, hi, guys. I'm new to the podcast and absolutely love it. Oh. I'm laughing along with you.
Oh.
I'm trucking around northern Alberta.
How nice. Convoy.
Steve is a Canadian trucker. Sorry,
time
I'm
for
just,
a convoy.
I'm just playing with a convoy.
Not Cullen in the name of... Cullen in the name
Cullen
of...
would have been much better.
Convoy. Oh, this just these sort of films, John. Convoy and Smokey and the Bandit. All those films. Just absolutely... Cannonball Run.
10-4. Just 10-4 to you, Steve.
Absolutely joyous childhood memories watching these films with my dad. She got a ready convoy to do it right. I hope he's not writing his letter during... I always fancy the truck life.
You've said this before. Found it quite cozy.
Yeah, I fancy the truck life myself. Let us know what it's like.
Steve is a South End fan, trucking around northern Canada. I feel like he might be making this up. It could be my brother.
No, I don't think.
Usually is. He says,
Cullen in the name of...
The mighty Shrimpers have bit the proper non-league dust. But you make it bearable, almost therapeutic. I think Lynn King from King's Lynn, who you met on LinkedIn, needs a bit more coverage.
Come on, you Linnets!
I picture her in a duffel coat and derby boots with a hand-knitted beret, almost Pam Ayers-like. Anyway, he says he's binge-listening throughout the archive.
Well, absolutely lovely.
Thank you, Steve.
How nice. Thank you, Steve. And that is a lovely letter towards your FOF number.
FOF 1.
And your, FOF letter I one. Think your FOF number if you do get it eventually, will be 10-4.
It has to be. 10-4 on that, Steve.
10-4 on that, Steve. So, a couple more letters and you'll be getting FOF number 10-4.
Sean Pritchard gets in
touch. Hey, Sean. And he messaged me on Instagram as well, John.
So yeah.
That was nice of him. Very nice things.
He says, hello on the ice, Charlie and John. I've only just started listening to the National Obsession properly since the end of last season. Oh. But since then, it's become one of my favourites. Thank you very much, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
It's also one of my most quoted, as I often find myself randomly shouting, bloody hell, John, when I'm bored.
Bloody hell.
I think we're about to get kicked out.
Okay.
I have to fess up and admit, I don't have a National League team, so I'm a Liverpool fan. But because I'm originally from North Wales, I'm kind of a Wrexham fan by default. I also have a soft spot for your beloved Torquays. My friend Scott Lawson is a huge fan and possibly the only Glaswegian who supports the goals. Not true. Wild Gary. We know Wild Gary. But he might not be from Glasgow. We never know. Wild Gary. He says, if you still haven't decided on getting a Spaniel, this is from Lord Cockington. How about some of these National League related breeds? James Rottweiler.
Lovely.
Not bad.
It's a lovely thing.
Ian Lurchinal.
It's a great letter, isn't it? Ian Lurchinal. That's beautiful.
And in tribute to a talkie legend, Lee Sharpie.
These are all brilliant suggestions. Well done.
Very good. Apologies that these puns aren't the best, but everyone's got to start somewhere. And my main life goal for 2022 is to become a FOF and usurp Daisy Seller. Big goals,
Daisy.
I know, but I've hired John Pemberton as a life coach to help me achieve them once he sorts out escalating the tensions between Russia and Ukraine.
What a great letter.
Lovely, Sean.
Sean, that's two letters. That's
very
fantastic.
Good.
You're close to a FOF number. John, do we have to get out of the studio?
Are
they doing the news
aggressive?
In here?
I think they've got other places they can do it. It's fine. Thank you very much, Sean, for that. John Pemberton, by the way, is busy. He's doing Boris Johnson's PR still.
Oh, lovely.
His idea was the Jimmy Savile line.
He wrote that for him.
Yeah, he did that especially. So it was really good.
Very good idea. Very good.
Alan Wills.
Alan.
Gets
Alan
in touch.
Wells, the sprinter.
Not Alan Wells. How fast do you do 100 metres? On the ice.
On
John
the ice.
Charlie. I don't know what you both think, but despite the mixed results and lower league position, I'm actually enjoying this season more than the last one. Winning every week is overrated. No. thanks,
really,
Alan.
Up until the very last kickoff of the season, I really enjoyed the whole season.
You just say it's incredible this season being amongst the amazing Yellow Army again. Now, that is good.
That is brilliant. I'll tell you what, though, really wish they'd bloody stream the games.
Oh, I have missed streaming.
Really missed streaming the games.
He says Altrincham in particular was a superb experience, and I even got the opportunity to finally meet FOF Mark Hepworth.
Oh, on the ice, FOF. On the ice, FOF.
He also said it was lovely to catch up with me at Havington Waterloo.
I think I did meet Alan,
before the game.
Shook your hand.
And I met Jules Nixon.
Moved on.
He also says, shout out also to FOF Kelvin Aplin and his brother Kurt, both of whom I used to meet at the Apollo Judoki in Ellicombe every week when Kelvin would throw me over his shoulder.
Oh, I wonder if he's brown belt. Brown belt,
like that,
or that's not higher.
I'm not going to
do
that.
Judo is
oh, right, okay.
Right over your shoulder.
Might edit that out.
I might take judo up again.
Alan says he couldn't progress past the yellow belt. Maybe that was a sign.
On the ice, Alan. How many letters is that from Alan?
That's one from Alan.
All right,
so,
Alan.
Welcome.
Lovely.
Welcome,
listeners this week. Go on.
And Gammy Knee finally.
Gammy.
Gets in touch.
What's the after that?
It's very long. Good God. And I've not pre-read this, so this could take us anywhere.
I'll just give you a little bit of Alan update. He's having a hard standing put in for a greenhouse. Yeah, we're all interested.
Well, my dad went very Alan Baker.
Did he?
Last weekend, because he came and saw our new flats.
Yes.
For the first time.
Try and sell you a.
No, it was just talking about
chainsaw.
How we could improve the garden a bit because it's quite shady. The grass isn't really growing. And put just a concrete over that, couldn't you?
Lovely.
Yeah, you could do.
Lovely. You could put a hard standing there and get a greenhouse, John.
just concrete over that, wouldn't you?
That'd be right. Lovely idea.
It's very practical.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Gammy
says,
praise
on the
it.
Ice, in
praise
the bay.
It.
I'm going to have to, I'll speed
in the bay,
this.
In the bin.
Gammy Knee here. I finally come out of hiding after my FOF of the Year adjudication. Others may have stopped wearing masks, but mine is still in use, concealing my identity whenever I'm out and about. A couple of things. Firstly, before Christmas, you had some correspondence ruin the absence of our old friend, Hearst. Now,
ooh,
though we were led
Hearst.
To believe that the great man had left us for good, I think this may not be the case, and there may in fact be some cause for optimism.
Oh.
The reason lies in the fact that, as far as I remember, we never found out what Hearst's first name was. Well, I've been thinking about that. The more I think, the more I'm convinced I know what his first name, and that is Roger. So it is Hearst, our Hearst, is Hearst, our Hearst, I mean, and Roger.
Gammy is giving this an awful lot of thought.
Yes. He's not got much on this week, I don't think. And he says, my second reason for writing is how much I enjoyed last week's episode, and in particular, the renditions of James Rowe's infamous soliloquy. Non-league raids had me helpless. The only regret is we didn't hear the likes of Alan Bennett or David Attenborough. Just a thought. best wishes to all.
There we are. Gammy, as always, we
Alan
really
Bennett and David Attenborough don't make many appearances anymore.
Not anymore.
We could bring Alan Bennett back.
Other content. Ronnie Corbett used to be in every week, John.
Just not had a sore throat in a while.
No, not had a drink in a while.
No.
Been drinking too much water, John. Should've and been. There we are. We've circled, finished the circle, back to the beginning.
The
little
news
call
is
back
to
the
start.
We've got to get out here so they can do the news.
Will it still
Thank
work?
You very much for all your letters. John, how can they get in touch?
It's nationalobsession@gmail.com.
Come on, you yellows. Enjoy your National League football. And on the ice.
On the ice.
The National Obsession with John Cadogan and Charlie Baker.